Welcome to another episode of the We Have a Meeting podcast. Today, we've got an extraordinary guest, a woman with a crystal clear mission to accelerate C-level executive success through collaboration and integrity. As a senior executive for major organizations, including global marketing and strategy officer for a $3 billion company, she has a track record of double-digit growth and groundbreaking contracts. Today, we're joined by Tricia Benn, partner and chief community officer and CEO of C-Suite Network. Tricia has 20 years of disruptive industry experience, and we're excited to learn more from her. So, Tricia, lovely to meet you. We always start these podcasts off with the same question. Who are you and what problem do you solve?
It is, first of all, wonderful to be here with you, Zach and Jack. I am so thrilled to be here with everybody. I'm Tricia Benn. I'm the CEO of C-Suite Network, and the problem that I'm solving is how to create real, meaningful success in the B2B space and see real success that matters. And that's all about finding great business leaders that want to have that successful model deliver to their communities. And I think for the most part, that's most of us. It's just that you don't know how necessarily to do that, and you have to be aligned with other leaders, other business builders, executives, influencers, etc., that are on that same mission. And so my everyday, I always say I am not a precious person. I grew up on a farm. There are only three states of being on a farm. Useful is the highest level, because the other two are dead and useful dead. So I am very matter of fact, very transparent, and I do have a mission, Zach, and I want to see, I want to see great leaders succeed and have that meaningful impact in their communities.
Amazing. And you mentioned then, if we could, because I think this could go in several different directions, you mentioned meaningful success. So what does meaningful mean?
Meaningful is absolutely critical in business. And I think this is something where we've taught people that meaning isn't what matters, it's the numbers that matter. And the fact of the matter is, the numbers only matter where you create meaning against them. So at every level of an organization, that meaning, that connection, that sense of purpose that we all need to have value in our lives, that is such a gift, and it's so powerful. So to me, meaning is about how you're creating that, how you're connecting with that, and how you're extending it to everybody you serve with and serve in your business.
Thank you, Tricia. Great answer. I sometimes feel like the word community can sometimes fall into the buzzword category, and especially as we have developed over time, the internet, we're not belonging to smaller tribes anymore. We're split off into, we could be a community of people that love growing chili plants, and that's a community. So how do you go above and beyond to just be different from the normal networking group, and how do you actually grow an honest, transparent community that actually goes above and beyond?
What a great question, Zach. I agree with you. First of all, community is absolutely overused. The good thing is, at least it's a good thing, right? Like, people think of community positively. So that's a good thing. In terms of C-Suite Network, we serve executives, owners, investors, and influencers, right? This is a very specific audience. Now, it's a large audience, but what we do here in the C-Suite Network, at every community event, we make it very clear. We know everybody's leading in communities, many communities outside of the C-Suite Network. So when we come into the community of C-Suite Network together, we remind people here, right, this community, we're about the four principles of our four R's. And for us, that's relevancy. When you're here, you're engaging in the conversation and the topic or the ask that somebody else has or whoever has the stage. And that is where we're focused. Then we focus on the next, So relevancy, reach, great people come from great people. So that's who we want to see here. And that's who is here, because that's how everyone got here. Reciprocity, always an ask and a give. So we don't believe, and when you're in the C-suite, we don't have time to act like we don't have an ask. You're not in business if you don't have an ask. So for goodness sake, ask, but also be at the ready with your give. So when we introduce somebody into the community, for example, they're always asked to share who they are, what they're passionate about, what their ask is, and what their give is, right? So we want to set them up for that kind of success right off the bat. And then the fourth R, which I added back in 2020, we'd had the election cycle here in the United States. We'd had COVID and we had George Floyd's murder. And I realized our community wasn't just about relevancy, reach, and reciprocity. It was about respect. And so the fourth R in our community is respect. And that respect says that we will seek to understand with each other. And so the diversity of our membership, of our community, is extensive because the respect is what we give to others. So respect I can give because of the quality of person I am. And that's what our community does. We give that because of the quality of people we are. Trust is earned by another person. And that I can't promise, right? but I can promise respect. And so that means that in the C-suite network, we can have very transparent conversations. We can completely disagree with each other in every possible way and with every fiber of our being. But we will seek understanding, which means that we can have real conversations. Because at the end of the day, you can't be a leader and not understand where somebody else is coming from with a different perspective on anything, personal or public, business related. So this creates an environment where these are the aligned principles. This is who we are. This is what we can expect with and from each other. And now we move forward from there. And that creates a really clear reminder of what this community is and what that kind of leadership looks like and how that can be used and, you know, to set principles, to set that community tone in the other communities that are led by our leaders.
I love how transparent it sounds, Tricia. Like it's one of those things. I've been to networking events before and everyone's like hovering around the fact that they're trying to sell me something or they want me to be a customer. And it's like, it's fine. I get it. That's what we're here. Get to the point. So I guess anecdotally, because I'm always intrigued by stuff like this, what are, if somebody was new to the group and they were looking around the room, typically what are the most common asks, like what usually comes up the most, and what are some of the most common gives? Because I'd be intrigued to say, what do people say I can give you, but what am I also looking for?
You know, this is something that in building a community over the course of years, and it's really challenging. A lot of people want to lead communities. There are so many layers to community leadership. If you want to challenge who you really are, trust me, there is no better task than taking on leading a community. So here's something that I just find absolutely fascinating. Now, when I have people come into the C-Suite Network, and I was the very first paying sponsor of C-Suite Network about a decade ago. So I came on team, I became a partner in the business and the CEO of the business. And so I don't know what it's like to be new in my community. I wouldn't have a clue, right? I can only experience it through my newer members and partners that come in. So what do I hear now? I hear I've never seen such a giving community. I've never been asked so frequently how I like what kind of help I need. And so that is something extraordinary, you know, where people are being asked, how can I help you? What are you working on? What are the challenges you're facing in your business? Because, I mean, at the end of the day, we all kind of have the same problems. It's just whether one's hot right now or not. And COVID is a great example. We all had one really big problem that was the same, right? That doesn't happen very often that we're all going through the same pain at the same time, good or bad in terms of the results of it. But that is something that I think is a really good indicator. So people giving, people asking. And I'd say on the ask side of things, I think the biggest ask we have, carve it all down, condense it all, is, listen, I'm not my teenage self anymore. I really need to learn from people who are real with me, transparent with me, to tell me the truth. What worked for you when you faced this challenge, right? And what didn't? And most importantly, why? because the reason it didn't work for one person may be the exact reason it works for me. But if they won't give me the transparency to know why it didn't work truthfully or why it did work truthfully, I can't actually benefit from that share or that information. And there's so much that we're misled about in the B2B decision-making world that is critical. So, you know, those are the two, I think, asks and gives that I see most frequently in our community. And then, of course, everyone has different areas of excellence. So I love using this analogy where I'll say the more expertise you have, the more excellence you have in a very specific area, the more you understand that's this. You have this at excellence. By definition, that means you are not very good. And I'll use nice words. You're not very good at lots of things, right? Lots and lots of things. And if you have the humility to understand that, you need partners that can be delivering those areas of excellence, helping you avoid the pitfalls and so on.
That's superb. And it leads on nicely to us looking back at maybe some highlights from your career. So things that kept popping up when I was doing my research on you was disruptive came up a lot of times as a word, and year-on-year growth and these types of things, and going into industries and kind of kicking the doors down a little bit more than maybe people were used to. So what are the principles that you've learned in your career that if you were to start again today and you were to get brought in as a CEO or some sort of disruptive decision-making role, what are those key principles that you would lean on that you think have worked time and time again?
For me, I love the word disruption. I just have so much fun with it because some people have really negative connotations to it. But to me, it's like if you're not disrupting, if you're not embracing what's coming and what will actually fuel leapfrogged growth as opposed to, okay, we're surviving, you know, like sort of clinging on, you know, we'll ride this out until it dies. Otherwise, you have to be disrupting and you have to be looking for disruptive tools and opportunities and thinking and so on. So first of all, I love the mindset of disruption with purpose, not disruption for the heck of it. That to me is absolutely ludicrous. But disruption from the perspective of how do we leapfrog opportunity? Absolutely. And then the basic theme throughout my entire career of building in the impossible or scaling through, you know, recessions and completely rebuilding in COVID, you know, there's so many times in my career where the real theme is, how do you align your team on your mission? How do you ensure that everyone understands that when your mission wins, when you succeed with your mission, everybody wins, you know, and that to me is the underlying principle. And when you do that, when people understand that you're aligned also on their mission, you can only scale and grow through even the most challenging times. So when I built it, you know, a $20 million business, on insights and strategic partnerships, communications, and so on. When we had the recession hit, there were a couple of clients, a few clients that really struggled and had to pull back budget. All of the rest of my business's client, all of the rest of our clients, they all came on and spent more because they trusted us to help them through those challenges. They are enormous challenges. How do you communicate when you don't know the answers, right? That's a very challenging spot to be put in, but for large institutions. And so we became that trusted avenue of really helping them through to creating successful outcomes through those big challenges. And so I think frequently that's overlooked and so powerful. So that those would be the most common things. I guess the one other thing I would say is never underestimate the value of investing in your team. And I would put a little caveat on the fact that your team isn't just your full-time staff that you pay. Your team is anyone who's aligned on your mission with you and wants to play a role in your success in the delivery of your mission. So never underestimate the power of bringing that team together and creating something that matters, that they're winning from, that they're contributing to, that they're connected with in terms of the results you're going to drive together with that success.
Amazing. I think there's no better person to ask, but we have a lot of aspiring women in business that listen to the podcast, and we've had a lot on the podcast as speakers and interviewees. In terms of being disruptive, has that been more important because you're a female and it's hard to make a name for yourself in the time that you've come up? What advice can you give us on that for our female listeners?
Thank you so much for the question, Zach. You know, this is an interesting dynamic for women and women in leadership. And so the best advice I have is obviously some of the things I've shared already, but I would also say, jump in, you know, so jump in and never go far away from money. So this is a really interesting dynamic. You've heard me talk about mission and people and principles and community, and, you know, I'm painting a very beautiful picture. But the key is, when you're doing those pieces right, the financials are absolutely delivered faster and more profitably. And so this obviously applies to everyone, not just women. But you want to stay close to the revenue streams of how you're driving meaningful revenue that will scale growth, that will create greater profitability, and, you know, deliver that value that will continue to augment that, continue to accelerate that path. So I would say, you know, those are critical. In terms of being a woman, I joke I'm third generation crazy woman, and I know for sure I've given birth to, you know, two young women who will be fourth generation crazy women. You know, I was raised with the notion that women drive results and have incredible abilities to see success in business and leadership and so on. And so, you know, it's one of those things of, and again, applies to everybody, but don't be afraid. You know, fear is absolutely part of the game, and jump in, you know? And then also always make sure that you're creating success for those that follow. Know that you're not alone. Everything that we should all be doing and supporting.
Good. Very, very strong answer. I like that. Let's stick on the topic of leadership. I guess, how does your leadership approach, how has that contributed to the company's double digit growth and securing contracts with major players worldwide? Like, what are some of the key things that you would say are part of your leadership approach and driving a team and motivating and inspiring people?
So I've shared with you the mission alignment, the principles, the success for everyone who's serving against that mission. That's critical. But the way that it plays out, those are kind of, you know, some of the really key things that I think make the difference. So for example, when I'm hiring somebody on team, I will share with them, but first I listen, who they are, what their interests are, what their passions are, where they want to go, what they've loved, what they haven't. You know, I leave it very open-ended so I can understand who they are. I then set up another interview. I'm a big believer in spending lots of time. My second one, I'll ask very specific questions. I have questions I've asked for decades. And I know from a normative perspective how others have answered those questions. And again, it allows me to discover who they are relative to those questions that I would typically ask. I then go into other conversations. And here's the thing that's really interesting. If I'm actually serious about bringing someone on board, I will give them every reason not to come on board. And this is something that I think is absolutely critical from the perspective of being real about a mission. If I sell you on everything being sunshine and roses, What do you do when it's not? And I don't know what that looks like. And I'm not looking for someone to fill a spot. I will not hire for months, years, if I have to. I will not go out into new business territories. I will not open new areas of our platform without the right person in that place. So I will give every reason for you not to want to work with me. I will tell you transparently, these are the problems. These are the challenges. This is what it's like to work with me or the team or, you know, whatever it is, or our partners, you know, whatever it is, because I want to know what that looks like. And I do not want you blindsided on my team. I need to know I'll have your back. I need you to have mine and everybody else on this mission. You need to have their back. And in what does that look like? So I think there are really practical pieces like that that are so important in terms of how you set people up for success. That overall mission, the principles you operate within, how you will support them in their success. The other thing is how they leave you. So this is another aspect. When I'm invested in somebody, I'm invested in their success. And the challenge I give to myself is how quickly can I scale the business that I can provide that next opportunity that they're ready for? And that's a fun challenge. Now, if something comes up where it's a great opportunity somewhere else, then I'm going to be the biggest advocate if they've invested with me. And it ups the ante so much in terms of what your team is delivering, what you're delivering. I've got a lot of responsibility, you know, and I'm excited and passionate about what that means. And so that transparency and the vulnerability, right? There are a lot of leaders who are not comfortable with suggesting they have any vulnerability if someone left them, right? I'm quite the opposite. Look, I'm excited and invested in your success. My goal is to scale fast enough that I have that next opportunity for you, but I'm going to be invested fully in you getting to that next level. I just got to be able to scale fast enough to get there too. And they obviously have a major part to play in that and want that investment as well. So it's, and if they don't, they're probably not the right fit for me and the mission that I'm delivering on, right? So it helps with that as well. Clarity of is this the right team and the right fit for them, not just for me or for the company.
You reminded me of when Zach set up the business a couple of years ago, and we was talking about me maybe joining. We've been friends for 15 years, and rather than tell me all the reasons why I should join, he gave me a list of reasons why it could go horribly wrong. So we're definitely aligned on that, Tricia. I guess from your standpoint, it was interesting there. It sounds like the interview process is quite deep in you're kind of, you really have to get to know somebody. What are some of the questions that you might ask somebody during those early stages to really get to know them, but also to challenge them, and maybe something anecdotal that might have come up along the journey?
There are kind of the questions that you would anticipate that I would ask, right? The sort of standard questions. But some things that might be a little more unusual are, I'll ask questions about when things went wrong, you know, how they communicated that news. And it's amazing what people will tell you, right? They'll tell you whether they're the one that's always right. They'll tell you whether they had any sympathy or empathy in terms of what they were communicating or who they were communicating that to. They'll tell you whether they expect to have successful outcomes in their communications. That question is a very, very powerful one. Another one that's really important to me, because I've always built incredibly diverse teams, and I mean all forms of diversity, you know, and that's something that I really value. I want to be able to anticipate the pitfalls of things, and I want to run fast. And if you have a diverse team, there's the anticipation of what could go wrong, because your naysayers, not necessarily naysayers, but the ones who are really anxious about throwing the baby out with the bathwater, become your warning signals, right? And what you're prepping against that could go wrong with those of us that are running like everything will be wonderful. And so I'm very mindful to the proportions within the team. So for me, I want a very diverse team with that is more on the side of, weighted more towards the side of innovation, disruption, and moving quickly, lots of momentum and so on. But I need a portion that is very strong and understands the value of what they bring to the table, that will be that, wait a second, you know, this is not going to work because of ABC. So that if they're strong and understanding the value they bring to the table in sharing that, and the people on this side proportionately are able to appreciate the fact that that helps them not fail, then you have incredible power. So the question I ask around that is always, what do you do to support the diverse perspectives within a team, or diversity within your team, or, you know, and the wording you can adjust slightly depending on, you know, what you really want to be able to drive with them and what their own demographic background is, because they may think that when you say diverse, you just mean color, you know, or religion, or, you know, something like that. And so, you know, how people think, the communities they come from, there's just so much that contributes to how they buy. I mean, just everything. So how they think about that, how they respond to that is really important, because I cannot have a team that doesn't appreciate the diversity of what people bring to the team and run as fast as I want to run, and create that disruption that captures the trends and needs of the people we serve. So those are questions that I think are maybe a little bit different. And as I said, I've been asking those for at least 25 years. And so this is not like a new thing for me. This is something that I have felt was critical to my team building and success in our missions over the years.
I think we're going to steal some of those for our own interview process. I really like the tell me about when something went wrong and how you communicated it. Because how readily available is that going to be for some people? They won't be willing to admit anything's ever been wrong that was their fault, right?
Right. And I mean, that tells you everything, doesn't it? If somebody is more wrapped around their ego of always being right, to me, that's not a teammate that I can create real value around. I need somebody who's going to come to the table and say, oh, that sucked, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, that sucked, but I've got some ideas, you know, and one of our most successful events in C-Suite Network has been going on now for well over 170 Fridays. So we're probably getting pretty close to 200. Now, we don't host them on holidays. So, you know, it's the better part of almost 4 years now, launched right after COVID started. And our business was catastrophically affected by COVID. We had over 120 in-person events a year. We went from that on March 13th, 2020 to none on March 16th, 2020. And so that was absolutely catastrophic, because it was the core of how we served and brought in new people to our communities. So we immediately stepped in and said, we are not going to just survive. We're not going to put our heads in the sand. We're going to drive and thrive in the C-suite. This is going to be a little painful, but we're not canceling anything. And we're going to be here, and we're going to support this community through success. And so that was, I mean, I'm just so proud and honored to have been able to be in that space. And a big thanks to my business partner, Jeffrey Hazlett, our chairman and founder, who, you know, he came out with that first statement with all of our support, of course. And what a mantle for us, because we created incredible bonds and we pivoted very quickly. So we moved everything online within the first couple of weeks, and wrapped around our members with online meetings and events and real time updating on what was happening in the different markets around the world, you know, and what business owners and executives were doing and what was happening and so on. But then I said to my sales team, listen, by next week, so, you know, here we are in the second week, by next week, we've got to figure out what we're doing from a digital sales and footprint perspective. So, you know, I want your ideas. We've got to move forward quickly. The next week comes around. Of course, there's a lot happening, and we've moved all of our events digital. There's like, you know, now we need a massive account, you know, so with Zoom, we'd always been using Zoom, but we didn't have an account for that many people to be on Zoom at the same time, and, you know, so on and so forth. So that next week, it was a Monday. I will never forget this. Nothing, crickets, zero ideas, zero movement. And I said, okay, well, here's the deal. And talk about disruption and pain. Today's Monday morning, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. I'm just making this up. Wednesday, 7 o'clock, we're going to host an event. And we're going to demonstrate to people who are not members of C-Suite why they should join C-Suite at $99 a month. And we need to have something to do that. And you need to invite anyone you're in conversation with right now. And so we did it. And it sucked terribly. It was the worst. It was the worst event I think we have ever hosted. We had two people who are still no longer member, like not at all members. They've never signed up as a member. and it was pitiful. It was really, really, really terrible. And what we did is immediately, as soon as the call was over, I called everybody up on the sales team and I said, okay, guys, what did we learn? You know, and what do we want to do now? And so we came up with Celebrates, and Celebrates Friday afternoon, 5 o'clock Eastern. And everyone from around the world, we have our Australians coming in on Saturday morning. I'm begging them to drink coffee. And I guess I love coffee, but anyway, Friday night, 5 o'clock, we came up with the tagline, permission to push pause. Don't we all want to push pause? And at that time in COVID, you know, certainly we all wanted to push pause. But in business we do every day, right? It's like, could I just push a pause button so I can take a breather, you know, and then get on to this. So we did that. We set up what the logistics of the event would be. And here we are, you know, nearly 4 years later, and it is a vibrant, incredible part of the community of C-Suite Network, and ties all of our leaders from around the world together in that time slot. And we celebrate all the great things that happened that week, all the great things that are coming up. And we say, you know, look, it's a high five or a bit of a shoulder. And we bring that our community together. And so, you know, that person who can say, this sucked, we sucked, but what can we do that will actually improve it? If we just call it as it is, now what can we do now that we know that? And so that's who I want on my team. Like, okay, that sucked. Now we're going to move on with this and we're going to create success knowing what we know now that we didn't know before.
I really like that. It's like a big difference between reacting or adapting. And it sounds like you did the latter. I feel like we could talk to you all day, but sadly we can't. But so I'm going to hit you with two quick questions. We asked Jeffrey the same, so I'd be interested to see how your answers differ. What's your favorite quote?
Oh my goodness. What a great question. You know, and terrible remembering quotes. So this is like I always comfort myself that I can write originally because I can never remember cliches or quotes. There's a quote by Judy Garland that says, why would you ever be a second rate someone else versus yourself? You know, you're the first rate of you. And I really love that, because so frequently we set ourselves up, or culturally we're set up, that we're supposed to measure ourselves against someone else or some level or nonsense about what perfection is. And I don't believe in that in any way, shape, or form. So being a first rate yourself is powerful, meaningful. And if you can touch the life of one person to see their success, to help them get to the next level, there's real meaning and that is real value. And if you can do that, why not add a zero and another zero and another zero, you know? So that I would have to say is probably at least one of my favorite quotes.
Brilliant. And what's your favorite book?
Oh my goodness. Okay. So favorite book. So here's something about me. I am absolutely a lover of diversity. Disruption is exciting to me, not threatening. So you might imagine that I love all different types of books, ideas, thoughts. And I'm constantly reading different pieces of things. And different books. I'm trying to think what I would say is my favorite book. You know, to me, there are lots of different things I could say and lots of different books that have created real meaning and value in my life. But I would say, rather than, you know, name drop one book, you know, I represent thousands of authors, right?
Yeah, putting you in a tough spot.
Yeah. Rather than name drop one book, what I would say is the thing about books that is so powerful is if there's one thing that creates meaning or value for you, something that you can take forward to create success or help people see things differently. I'll give you a practical example. There's a book by Keith Ferrazzi, and it's called Leading Without Authority. This is one that I use quite frequently with my team, and also to keep myself honest. And this is something that as leaders, you know, we have no measure of perfection on anything, right? We get put in this position of like, what you say actually matters. And in many ways it does, but there's no claim on anything other than you happen to be the leader in that circumstance. And leading without authority, there's a chapter, I believe it's chapter 2, gives you all the excuses you use not to deliver. And if we're being honest with ourselves, if we're being honest with our teams, we all fall into the category of using excuses. Well, it would have been this if only it wasn't for that person, or if only COVID hadn't happened, or if only, you know, whatever. There are a million excuses we use for ourselves and for others not to deliver. And when it comes to authority, we think, well, if we're the boss, we get to say, you do that or else. I don't believe in that premise at all. And I think anyone who does is absolutely fooling themselves. You have no authority over anyone today to say you do this or else. Okay, so what are you going to do? You fire them? Okay, that's going to happen anyway. So like the practicalities of it are, you are going to be fired. I don't care if it's your own business, you're going to be fired one way or another by your client, by, you know, an investor, a board. I mean, there are a million things that can happen at that level, at the enterprise size level. If you're not walked out of the door, that's a shocker, right? You probably haven't been doing anything of value. So the whole idea of how we lead without authority or this pretend notion of authority is so powerful, and not giving our excuses, you know, or giving ourselves excuses not to achieve the things we want to achieve, and the power of how our interrelationships throughout any organization or the tentacles, you know, to the clients and partners that we work with and so on. If we don't give that real value and support and intention inside of our organizations, we're missing that scalable growth that you talked about in terms of my career. That's where you start getting into really, really big differences.
Amazing. Amazing. Such a good episode. I've really, really enjoyed speaking to you. If anyone wants to look at the C-Suite Network or find out a bit more about you, where should they start? Where's the best place?
Oh, so please come to c-suitenetwork.com. And don't hesitate to reach out. I'm on every social platform there is, I'm pretty sure. And would love to have you, Zach, and certainly Jack, and anyone that you would want in your community to come and visit. Celebrates is a late Friday night activity, but we have no judgment. Whatever people are drinking at 10 o'clock overseas, you're more than welcome to join. And we'd love to see you at Celebrates, and you can go into the website and come and join. I'd love to host you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Tricia.
Thank you.